Hello, and welcome to Till Death Do Us Part.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Melissa. Daniel, we're doing something different today.
What are we going to do?
I started a series on Instagram. Do you know what Instagram is?
I've heard you mention it.
Okay. So I started doing this series where I was doing seven of something, like seven people who were killed in 2023 or seven people who faked their own kidnapping, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a really great response from that. So what I thought is I would turn it into a podcast series.
As you should.
Or new bonus episodes. So once a month, I'm going to tell you about seven people.
Seven. Magic number of seven.
I don't know. Seven just seemed appropriate.
Seven sins.
Yeah. And there's another great podcast out there called Seven Deadly Sinners that I love. And so go check out that podcast. But this is just seven.
Isn't there a seven seas soup?
What?
Isn't there a soup, like a seven seas soup, and it has like all kinds of different seafood in it?
Probably.
Am I dreaming that up or is that a real thing? Now I have to look. I should have brought my magic Google box with me, but I didn't.
I don't know. I've never heard of that, but seven can be used in anything, right?
Well, seven. Since our entire world revolves around seven.
Does it?
Yeah, 7 days in a week.
Oh, okay. There you go.
That's how it all averages out and works out.
I just love the number seven.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an odd number and I love odd numbers.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't know that about you.
Oh, see? Learn something new every day.
You're odd.
I'm a little odd.
All right.
So you ready to start?
Yes. Lay a big old seven on me.
So this is seven people who faked their own kidnapping.
Lucky number seven. Good for them.
We're going to start with Dr. Mark Salerno.
Ooh, a doctor.
That's a doctor. He's a pediatrician. On Thursday, May 9th, 2002, someone was walking by a Toyota Camry sedan in a parking lot at Balboa Park in San Diego, California.
That's my dream car for you.
A Camry?
Yeah, because it would get much better gas mileage than the one you already have.
For those of you who don't know what Balboa Park is.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's this huge, well, park, I guess. And they have museums and a zoo and...
It's not like a park, like Central Park of New York City kind of park.
No,
it's
they just call it a park.
Yeah, it's more of a gathering of different facilities and locations, but you can kind of wander all over the place.
Yeah, the old globe is there, which is a Shakespearean experience. No, they show or they put on Shakespeare plays and stuff.
Yeah, it almost reminds me of like a college campus.
It kind of is. It's been used as a college campus in movies. Well,
there you go. Yeah, that's kind of how it's laid out.
All right. So anyways, we're at Balboa Park in San Diego, California.
Toyota Camry.
This person heard a knocking and pounding coming from inside of a trunk. Or the trunk from the Camry. 911 was called and the jaws of life opened the hatch. Inside was 45-year-old Mark Salerno and his feet were bound with duct tape. Mark had been missing from his home in Scottsdale, Arizona for 3 days.
Ooh.
He was taken to the local hospital and interviewed by police. Mark said that he had been kidnapped by three or four men, put into a van, driven around, and then stuffed into his own trunk.
That's weird.
It's really weird because he was driven around in a van and then somehow he got placed back in his car in the trunk in a totally different state.
Yeah, from Scottsdale, Arizona to San Diego.
Right.
That's a decent drive. It's about a 4-hour drive-ish.
Four? I think it's way longer than that to Scottsdale from San Diego. You have to go all the way into Yuma.
3 hours to Yuma. Maybe it's five. How many hours is it to Phoenix from Yuma?
I don't know. Who drives
there? 2 hours, maybe? That's crazy. It's not that much farther. Okay, 5 hours max. 4 to 5 hours. It's not that far.
The media got a hold of the story, and it was featured on the local news. A woman saw the report and called the authorities. She had seen a man earlier in the day crawl into a sedan and close the lid in Balboa Park.
Oh my God.
When confronted with the eyewitness account, he confessed to staging the crime. Mark said that he had taken some drugs before locking himself in his trunk, where he then went to sleep. Mark woke up after a few hours and began banging on the inside of the trunk. Turns out, Mark had been arrested 2 weeks prior for driving a stolen vehicle and using a stolen license plate. Now, Mark had stolen that car a year and a half before he was caught.
So the car was still out and about stolen?
No, he had been arrested 2 weeks earlier for driving a stolen car that he had stolen a year and a half before. So this was a new car.
Oh, okay.
Or a new-to-him car. Okay. Yeah. His reasons for faking his own kidnapping were personal and financial reasons.
And what,
that's it,
pray tell, financial reason would he get from being kidnapped?
He just said it was personal and financial. He just owed a lot of money and was trying to escape his life.
All right.
Mark was billed $8,000 and sentenced to 3 years probation. And awesome. Then 6 weeks later, he went missing again and was found in Pittsburgh.
Oh my gosh. What an idiot.
I know.
Here's an interesting bit of useless information.
What's that?
All newer cars and new cars have an emergency latch in the trunk so that you can't get stuck in a trunk.
Yes.
Simply because of kidnappings. Now, obviously, if he truly was bound and gagged and all that stuff, then he probably wouldn't be able to release it. But even then, it's still that they've designed it that way.
Yeah, and they've done it for kids, too. Because kids lock themselves in the trunk, like when they're playing hide and go seek or something.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that they can get out.
Our next person is Jennifer Wilbanks, which is also known as the Runaway Bride. Oh, I did this case for one of our Betrayed episodes over on Patreon.
It's always fun to hear about brides that run away.
Jennifer went missing after going for a jog on the evening of April 26, 2005 in Duluth, Georgia, only 4 days before her large wedding. A nationwide search began, and the media coverage of Jennifer's disappearance intensified with each passing hour. Then, on April 29th, Jennifer called her fiancé from a payphone and told him she was dropped off on a street in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. Do you remember these phone calls?
I do remember this one. Yeah.
She was at a payphone bank. And on one payphone, she was talking to her fiance and family. And on the other payphone, she was talking to police. And I mimicked the conversations.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was pretty wacky.
Yes,
to say the least.
Jennifer was picked up by a police officer and driven to safety. She claimed that a couple in a van had kidnapped her on her run and then sexually assaulted Jennifer while driving across the country. But while being interviewed by the FBI, Jennifer's story began to fall apart. She then admitted to fabricating the kidnapping claim. Jennifer had actually gotten herself on a bus and ran out of money in New Mexico. So she had to call home because she was out of money.
Had she just gotten married and gone through with everything, then she would have been established and everything would have been fine. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah, but she says that she ran away from her life due to the stress of her upcoming wedding.
Yeah, I know. This was tough for me to listen to because it's like, oh my God, then don't have a big ass wedding. And they're like, yeah, but she couldn't. And she felt pressured. And it's like,
yeah,
these are seriously first world problems.
She had a to-do list.
I felt stressed at my wedding, so I ran away.
I remember.
Oh my God.
She had a to-do list, and it was like, get my hair done, get my nails done, pack for the honeymoon. It was all these kind of fun things, and that stressed her out and sent her over the edge.
Even that was, overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Like, oh goodness, that's too much for you to handle.
On June 2nd, 2005, Jennifer pled no contest to a felony indictment for providing false information to law enforcement. As part of her plea, she received 2 years probation, 150 hours of community service in order to pay $2,250 in restitution to the Gwinnett County Sheriff's Department.
I actually really appreciate her.
Why?
Because she did a huge favor to her fiance.
Oh.
Because he dodged such a giant pile of crap that would have been her as a wife.
Well, they stayed together for a while after.
They did?
And then they broke up. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, screw him then. He should have run right then and there. He should have been the runaway...
Groom.
Groom. I almost said bride, which that wouldn't have made sense. He should have been the runaway groom. Been like, oh my God, I dodged a bullet. I'm out of here.
All right, well, we're moving on to Kevin McGeever.
Of course we are.
Around 9:40 p.m. on January 29th, 2013, 68-year-old Kevin was found wandering barefoot in the pouring rain on a remote country road in Ireland, about 100 miles from his million-dollar estate. He had been missing for 8 months. According to the authorities, he was disheveled and disoriented and told the authorities that he had been dumped on the side of the road from the back of a van. Kevin was extremely malnourished, had grown a long, scraggly gray beard, his nails were 3 inches long, and the word thief had been carved into his forehead, except it had been spelt wrong, so it said teeth.
Oh my God. Can I state the obvious here?
What?
Vans are really getting bad publicity so far, even though they're not to blame.
That's kind of what you see in movies and things like that, is people in a van, a white van. It's always a white van.
White vans, no windows. Did I ever tell you I had a white van with no windows?
What?
Yeah. I got a smoking deal on it from where I worked. It was like a delivery van, and they wanted like $500 for it. It ran perfect.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, sure, I'll buy it. So I bought it and drove it around.
How old were you?
Then 19.
Oh, that's creepy.
And so then I got tired of it and sold it to my friend, and then he drove it around, and then he sold it to some guy, and yeah, it had a lot of miles on it, but it ran perfect. It was like a delivery van. There was no seats in the back. So it was a full-on just creeper van.
I hope you wiped it out for DNA.
No, it only had two front seats in it. Oh. Looking back on it, I probably should have passed on the white van.
Kevin said that he had been kidnapped by 3 masked men at gunpoint on May 27, 2012. While he was tending to his garden, believing that they were Russian gangsters. What? He was kept in a metal container 20 feet underground with no lighting, heating, and or sanitation. He was repeatedly beaten and tortured by these men and also had teeth.
Teeth. That seems like a lot of work. Why would they do such a thing to him?
I don't know.
20 feet underground.
That's a big hole.
You can die because there's no air circulation.
Yeah.
Like, so it's a problem, especially all cooped up like that.
Okay, but you realize that this is called faked?
Absolutely. I'm just saying that his story is ridiculous because for all those things to happen.
Okay, well, let me tell you.
Well, tell me the story already.
The hospital staff noted that McGreever's eyesight was very good for a person who claimed to have been held in total darkness for months. But this is really funny. Oh, his girlfriend did not report him actually missing until the end of June. So a month. He was gone a month before she reported him missing.
And he supposedly was gone for what? What did he say?
8 months.
8 months.
Yeah, May to January.
Okay.
But by his 4th interview with authorities, he admitted to having faked the entire kidnapping. He says he did it to get his creditors off his back. He said that he spent the first part of his quote-unquote kidnapping in a shed located at the back of his estate. Kevin then moved into a rural cabin where he starved himself and grew a beard. Kevin McGreever was actually an international serial con man who had been conning people out of their money since he was 29 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Kevin was sentenced to 2 years in prison.
That's it?
That's it.
What a loser.
Wow, wow, wow.
So he had this estate, but he was broke, obviously.
Yeah.
And it was all fake.
Yes.
So his best idea, even though he's a con man, so he obviously was good at convincing people of things, his best line was that he was kidnapped for 8 months and kept in a box 20 feet underground and beaten.
Yes, but he was also 68, so he was getting older. So the con wasn't
working
as much. He was 68? Are you not listening to anything I'm saying to you?
I can only absorb so much.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, I didn't realize he was 68. And he has a girlfriend?
Yes.
Well, that's helpful. Okay.
All right, we're going on to Sherry Papini.
Okay, good.
Oh, Sherry, I love.
Is that the name in that song?
Yeah, Steve Perry classic. Oh, Sherry.
Oh, okay.
Are you going to sing it?
No.
I love that song.
I thought it was a different name.
It makes me want my first name to be Sherry.
I thought it was Oh, Carrie.
No, it's Oh, Sherry.
Oh, Perry.
I love. Right. Hold on. Hold on.
You should have been a singer.
No, I'm horrible. But you have to listen to it. All right. Oh, Sherry.
Oh, Sherry.
Now, we did cover this case when we were guests on another podcast called Did I Cross the Line?
That's right.
Okay. And I did tell you all the Sherry Papini case, so that's back in our catalog.
Way in the back.
All right. On November 24th, 2016, Thanksgiving Day, 34-year-old Sherry Papini was found running in and out of traffic around 4:30 a.m. She told the long-haul trucker who stopped to offer assistance that she had been kidnapped and one of her captors had just dropped her off on the side of the road. Sherry had gone missing from Redding, California on November 2nd, so 3 weeks prior. Sherry was wearing a sweatshirt and sweatpants with a chain locked around her waist.
Oh,
she had been badly beaten, her nose broken, her long blonde hair had been cut short, and she now weighed 86 pounds. So she lost 20 pounds. Sherry told investigators that she had been jogging a mile from her home when she was pulled into a dark minivan by two Hispanic women wearing bandanas. One was brandishing a handgun. She was kept chained to a metal pipe in a bedroom closet with a boarded up window. Eventually, the kidnappers got into a fight. One shot another one. And later that evening, she was put back into the van and dropped off in Yolo County. An unknown male and female DNA were found on the clothes that Sherry was found in. Eventually, the male DNA was traced to an ex-boyfriend of Sherry's. When he was confronted with the information, he admitted to having picked up Sherry near her home and driving her 9 hours to his apartment in Costa Mesa, where they hung out. You know, they just hung out.
That's it. That's all you do in Costa Mesa is hang out.
After 3 weeks, Sherry decided she missed her kids and had the ex-boyfriend rough her up a little bit and then drive her back up north.
Just a little bit.
Remember she was branded on the shoulder?
I do remember the branding.
Yes, and it was supposed to be an Exodus.
Oh, goodness.
Bible verse.
You know, they were in Costa Mesa. Why didn't they just go to Disneyland? Because seriously, it's like 15 minutes away.
Oh my gosh. Not everybody loves Disneyland.
Well, maybe she could have rethought what she was doing while going on It's a Small World ride.
No, she was just in her ex-boyfriend's house, who she was very attracted to, just hanging out and watching movies. You know, nothing was going on except that his DNA was found on her underwear. So, you know, nothing was going on though.
Saliva.
Oh.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right.
Well, maybe he was sneezing.
Oh, okay. That's where we're going with that?
He projected something from sneezing.
Something shot out of his body?
Yeah, I sneezed.
Okay. On March 3rd, 2022, Sherry was arrested for making false statements to federal law enforcement and mail fraud. 6 weeks later, she admitted to the hoax. In September of 2022, Sherry was sentenced to 18 months in federal prison and fined $300,000. This chick was released in August of 2023. Sherry served half her sentence.
Man.
She's now suing her ex-husband for shared custody and half of the money that they really had made off of her kidnapping.
Yeah, so no, she seems like someone who is very responsible and should definitely get partial custody of her kids.
Yeah, she's a peach, that one.
No, hopefully she doesn't get it.
If you want more information on this case, go back and listen to our Sherry Papini.
It's in there somewhere.
Episode.
I don't remember which one.
I did a lot of research on that one.
She was in that job.
She was.
As most of these people are.
That one was pretty funny because we got to do it with a couple of our friends.
So yeah, that was cool.
All right, our next person is Jessica Nordquist.
Is there a white van in this?
No.
Oh, there's damn not. It.
In July of 2017, family, friends, and coworkers of Jessica's were sent photos from a supposed kidnapper, and they were of Jessica naked and tied up.
Fun.
Concerned, the authorities were contacted and police went to her home and found a note informing her loved ones that Jessica had indeed been kidnapped. But 2 days later, authorities found Jessica in Scotland at a bed and breakfast.
What? Scotland?
Jessica had not been kidnapped, but was on holiday.
Oh my, okay, so she's not from the U.S., obviously.
She is. I guess she was born and raised in Alaska and then moved to London for a job, I think.
What I mean was the home that she supposedly was kidnapped from, where was that?
In London.
In London, okay.
Yeah, in England.
Oh, okay, all right.
Oh, did I not say that?
Maybe you did and I missed it.
No, I didn't. Oh, well, I'm about to.
Okay.
Jessica was living in England and working at a large PR firm.
Okay.
She began a relationship with a coworker, but the relationship soon dismantled.
That's one way of putting it.
Does that sound
it
stupid?
It became disenfranchised. The relationship was taken apart.
I was trying to say dismantled because you had used it in our past.
No, episode. I like it.
Okay.
I like that. That's funny to me. Like, yeah, it was dismantled.
Well, Jessica was not happy about the breakup, and she soon accused her ex of sexual assault and getting her pregnant. She even bought a fake pregnant belly on Amazon. So you can get anything on Amazon.
Oh my gosh.
She sent aggressive and defaming texts to clients and coworkers about her ex. She opened up 20 Instagram accounts accusing him of rape. And she said that the firm was aware of the assault, but chose not to act. Her ex was so scared that he left his home and went into hiding. This girl was nuts. Still not getting the attention that she wanted from everyone around her, including the ex-boyfriend, Jessica decided to stage her own kidnapping. It was for attention.
Oh my gosh. And then trying to ruin his life.
Yeah.
Because someone's going to believe it because they want to believe that that happened. So now he has to try and undo all of that damage, all those lies. Right.
But then it's so sad because there are women who go through this experience for real.
Yeah.
And then they try to tell the truth. And then they're like, oh, people are like, oh, you're faking or you're just trying to get attention. Yeah. When it actually happened. It's because of stories like these.
And then women, a lot of women can't figure out why guys are so afraid to get into a relationship with them because this could happen. This could ruin their lives.
Yeah.
All she'd have to do is just say it happened. And now he has to prove it didn't happen. I mean, he could lose his job immediately. Yeah.
Well, and vice versa.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, guys do that to girls too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe just be single for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Just hire prostitutes. I think that's the way to do it because at least it's just a business transaction.
Jessica was sentenced in 2018 to 4.5 years in prison.
Wow.
Yeah.
They were not happy with
her. No.
Good.
Maria Gonzalez, 32-year-old. What?
Does this involve a van?
No.
Oh, my God. Okay, now I'll stop with the van.
32-year-old Maria Gonzalez, the owner of a trucking business in California.
Okay, that's close enough.
Claimed that she was kidnapped, robbed, and sexually assaulted by two masked men, one who was armed. She turned up at a house in Fresno, California in September of 2018. Maria was partially bound with a telephone cord, gagged, and suffered an injury to her head. Maria told investigators that she had been driving down a road and saw two dogs running free. She stopped to help the dogs, and the two men jumped out of nowhere and entered her car, bound her arms, stuffed a gag in her mouth, and then she was ordered to drive. Does that make sense,
no,
sir?
No. They tied her up and then told her to drive?
Right. How can you have your arms tied up and then told to drive?
Well, what happened to the dogs? Did they put them in the trunk? Where are the dogs? Did they just leave them loose?
They just ran off.
Man, those guys are jerks.
Somehow.
Wait a minute. Okay.
What?
Okay. Why wouldn't one of them just drive? They got her. They got her bound and gagged. Just what's she going to do? Get away? So they may as well one of them drive. Another one hold the gun to her. And then it's fine. Why would you have her drive?
You're acting like this really happened.
I know it didn't happen. That's what I'm saying. But the story doesn't work. All right, continue.
It doesn't. That's the funniest part about these stories is none of them actually make sense.
And what kind of dogs were they?
Oh, my Lord.
Okay.
Okay.
Carry on.
Somehow, Maria, her name's Maria, right? You've been talking so much, I forgot her name. Yes. Somehow, Maria lost consciousness and woke up with a head injury and her underwear were wet, believing that she had been sexually assaulted while unconscious.
Moist.
Oh, someone's going to get mad at that.
Well, what's the difference between moist and wet?
The masked men had also stolen the $9,000 in cash she had in her purse to pay her employees' salaries. Investigators became suspicious when the only footprints found around her car were her own. There was only one set of prints. There should be three.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If
well,
there were two.
Five.
What?
There's the two dogs, too. Dog print.
If there were two attackers, their footprints would have been around the area of the car as well.
Of course they would.
And her purse was still intact. Only the money had been taken. Her credit cards were still in there, her license plate.
But that $9,000 in cash, which takes up a lot of room, incidentally.
Maria also had a hard time keeping her story straight and explaining how exactly she had untied herself, managed to escape from the back seat, and gotten away from her abductors. Maria finally confessed to faking her own kidnapping and injuring herself in the head when she was confronted with CCTV footage of the supposed area from the day in which she was kidnapped. They had footage of nothing happening.
Oh my God.
There weren't even any dogs running around in the footage. She had made the claim because she did not have the $9,000 to pay her workers.
So she really was obligated to pay in cash to employees?
That was the money that she was going to use to pay her employees, but she said she had it stolen when she was kidnapped. She didn't really actually have that money. And that's why she faked the kidnapping, because she didn't have the $9,000 to pay
employees. But she actually was supposed to pay them.
She was supposed to pay them, yes.
So to get out of that, because she didn't have the money,
she faked it.
That's interesting. That's a lot of money to carry around to pay. Well, I guess not. Depends on how many people.
Maria Gonzalez was charged with a misdemeanor.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That's it?
That's it. Good job, Fresno.
Well, she didn't actually injure anyone or threaten anyone's life, so that's probably why. But still, That's pretty, that, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, well. Last one. You ready?
I'm ready.
Carly Russell. Does this name sound familiar?
Oh, yeah. No.
On Thursday, July 13th, 2023, around 9:30 p.m., a nursing student, 26-year-old Carly Russell, was driving down I-459 South when she spotted a toddler walking along the road.
What?
She pulled over and dialed 911, saying that she was on the side of the highway with the child. The call lasted 2 minutes. After hanging up with 911, Carly called her sister-in-law. While on the line, the sister-in-law heard Carly scream, and then she was gone, but the line remained open. Carly's mom called 911 and reported what had just happened. Soon, the authorities were on the scene. Carly's phone, wig, and purse were found inside her abandoned red Mercedes-Benz. Plus, her Apple Watch was found in a bag. So she had no communication.
Okay.
After a 49-hour search, Carly walked into her parents' front door at 10:45 p.m. on Saturday the 15th. Carly was taken to the hospital and was eventually interviewed by investigators. She told them that while she was on the phone, a man with orange hair walked out of the woods and told her he was checking on the small child. He somehow forced her to climb a fence and pushed Carly into a waiting car. Eventually, she was put into a truck trailer and heard a man and a woman talking and a baby crying. Carly was able to escape, but was soon recaptured and then blindfolded. She was taken to a house where Carly was told to undress, was fed cheese crackers, and the woman played with her hair. On Saturday the 15th, Carly was placed back into a car. She was then able to escape and ran through the woods and then made her way home. But once again, the story started to unravel.
Because there's so many details to the story.
Yeah. By July 24th, Carly had admitted the kidnapping claim was fake.
No.
And on Friday, July 28th, she was charged with false reporting to law enforcement and falsely reporting an incident. Carly was released on a $1,000 bond for both charges. In October of 2023, she was sentenced to a year in prison and ordered to pay nearly $18,000 in restitution. Carly is appealing that sentence as of right now. There has never been a statement made as to why Carly faked her own kidnapping. She and her family have completely stonewalled, have not said anything.
Her family?
Yeah, her family too.
Like they support her?
Yes. Her lawyer says that...
I would never talk to her again.
Yeah. Her lawyer says that people should be in prayer for Carly and that she's working on her mental health.
Why? She's an idiot.
Well, okay. Well, her ex-boyfriend did say that they had gotten into a little argument a few days before. So? But that really shouldn't be a reason why she faked a kidnapping.
Of course not.
So nobody knows why she did this.
She caused emergency services to come out and throw all these people into looking for all this stuff. And she faked it with her family.
Yes.
So they're like mortified and they don't know what to do.
Oh, absolutely. They even went on the news and were begging for whoever took her to bring her home.
Yeah.
It was a very traumatic experience for everybody that loved her.
You know what I'm praying for?
What?
That the judicial system does the right thing and denies her stupid appeal and she has to serve prison time because she's a moron. That's what I pray for.
Well, it was big news for a while.
How dare over the she summer. Do that? That's how I look at it.
I know.
Gosh.
And it was funny because this didn't make any sense. When this happened, it didn't make any sense. And so people were on social media kind of doubting the story. Mm-hmm. And then people would come back and be like, I can't believe you're saying that. Right, this poor girl's been kidnapped and all this kind of stuff. And then it comes out that she faked her own kidnapping. And these people that were on social media were like, see, I told you, this stuff does not really happen all that much.
No.
And I mean, there has been real kidnappings, and I should probably do 7 real kidnappings at some point, but
these are better, so we can make fun of them.
We can make fun of these people.
I think that if you're a dude with bright red hair in that area,
in Alabama,
you should sue her for defamation.
What?
Because, absolutely, because she is essentially causing society to look negatively towards you because you have red hair.
That's true, because in the Sherry Papini case, she said it was 2 Hispanic women.
Yeah.
And the Hispanic women within that community and within that area were very afraid
of course,
investigators were going to come start searching them.
Yeah.
So I see that. No, you're absolutely right.
I mean, I'm joking, but I'm not joking because the only way you're going to teach people like this a lesson is to draw attention to them being absolutely ridiculous.
I just don't know how that seemed like a good idea in any of their heads, especially Carly, because she had gotten off of work, drove to Target, bought herself snacks with a credit card, okay? And then this whole elaborate thing, and those snacks were not found in her car. So she took those snacks somewhere, and people don't know what she did for that 49 hours. I could not find anything, even on Reddit. Nobody knows where she was for that 49 hours.
That must
have
been the like mega box of Cheez-Its. You know what I'm craving right now?
Cheez-Its?
The white cheddar Cheez-Its.
Oh, absolutely.
I would eat the entire box right now if it was sitting in front of me.
The glass of wine.
Now I'm starving. Wine and white cheddar Cheez-Its.
Yeah. You know what's not good are the Walmart brand cheddar Cheez-Its.
You're right.
I did buy those.
The knockoff ones just are not, they're not good.
They're not. And now we're bantering. Some people are going to love this. Some people are going to hate this. So there you go.
If someone has had the name brand Nabisco white cheddar Cheez-Its and you still don't like them, well, there's something wrong with you.
May God have mercy on your
soul.
Because
that's the most fantastic snack ever.
Oh, it is.
I can eat a whole box sitting in the car.
Okay, can we stop?
Yes.
Can we stop? All right, so that's my list.
That's a good list.
You liked it?
Yeah.
Do you like this kind of new bonus episode series? I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah, that's good.
Just call it The List or 7. Let's just call it 7 after that wonderful movie with Brad Pitt.
I was going to mention that, but was it 4 out of 7 or 5 out of 7 that involved a van? Was it 4?
I think it was only 3.
3? Damn it. All right.
Well, there you have it. 7 people who faked their own kidnapping. Now, I know there's probably many, many more, but these are the ones that
stick out
and were the most talked about. And I could find the most research on these people.
And was it 5 out of the 7 had at least 2 men with masks? Something
or
like
women.
That. Or women. So
only one had photos.
Oh.
And she took photos of herself naked and tied up.
Okay.
She could have just sold those on OnlyFans.
Yeah, why didn't she just start an OnlyFans site?
Jessica, you missed a grand opportunity.
I mean, even if you're not that great, you don't need that many people.
No, you only need 11 like us.
Well, I don't know. How much did you charge for OnlyFans? I have no idea.
I don't know.
What do they get for a subscription for the OnlyFans?
I don't know, honey.
I want to start a site called OnlyFans, and you know what I would sell?
I'm afraid to ask.
OnlyFans.
What?
Yeah, I just sell fans.
Oh.
Like this fan above me, I got to move it.
You're such an idiot.
And that would be the name of my website. It'd be OnlyFans. And people would go there because they're an idiot and they think they're going to the OnlyFans, you know, naked thing mostly. It's not all mostly. Well, yeah, it's mostly. And it's just fans for sale.
Okay.
We get like desk fans, ceiling fans.
Oh my gosh. You realize fans. The only people continuing to listen to this episode right now are the people who really, really like us. Everyone else has turned it off.
they really don't think that's funny, having an OnlyFans site that only sells fans? Okay, I'll stop. Oh,
gosh. All right. Well, this was fun. Yeah?
It's good.
I hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll just keep going. How's that?
You want to hear another bad idea for a business?
Oh, Lord.
After this?
What?
OnlyFans. That's what I'd have for a car lot. And it would attract all these, you know, kidnappers.
That's a great idea, because then you just set up CCTV footage and
they're like, we got to figure out, we got to report it was two dudes in a van, like probably got it from OnlyFans. And then they go trace it back. Smart. And because all I sell is vans.
Okay.
And I'd say, hey, if you're not into vans, but you do need a fan, you can go to my other site. It's called OnlyFans.
Okay. We're going to say goodnight. Ready? I hope you guys liked this. I mean, I laughed.
It was good. I hope you got some good ideas from it. And that is to not do any of those stupid things.
Yeah. Don't be stupid.
Yeah.
Don't be these people.
Just be sort of normal-ish.
Be careful.
Do I still say the same thing?
I don't know. We're going to figure out how this is going to flow. Maybe we'll come up with a new tagline. If any of you have a new tagline for this 7 series, hit us up. Let us know.
Then start over. Say, be careful.
Be careful.
Because if you don't get a prenup, divorce is going to be ugly.
That has nothing to do with what I just said to you. Oh my gosh. Bye, guys.
Bye.